So last week we were in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we ended in chapter 3 around verse 5. And what we saw in last week's sermon was that Paul was making a clear distinction about the difference between disciples of the faith and deserters of the faith. And it was extremely clear that the two do not coexist. Disciples are those that depart from iniquity, that cleanse themselves so that they can be vessels of honorable use for every good work. Deserters of the faith are those, as Paul referred to it here in verse 18 of chapter 2, those that have swerved from the truth, upsetting the faith of some. Paul went on into chapter 3 to really drive the point home of these deserters of the faith. They were people who were proud, arrogant, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unappeasable, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Paul also said of them in verse 8 of chapter 3 that these men oppose the truth. These men are corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. And for these individuals, Paul admonishes Timothy, his son, to avoid them, have absolutely nothing to do with them. And we understand this to be those who say they know the Lord, but clearly aren't living for the Lord. Paul also wrote a letter to a church in Corinth, and he told them that a bad company corrupts good morals. So it would be important to avoid detractors or deserters of the faith and make sure that we don't intermingle, because that bad company could corrupt good character. And so Paul lets Timothy know, though, this is not a concern that he has for his son in the faith. Paul is convinced that Timothy is not a deserter of the faith, but that he is a disciple, that Timothy has a character that's like Christ's character. And we see in verse 10 why Paul had this great confidence. The scripture reads, "You, however," Paul talking to Timothy, "have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and in Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." In a summary, Paul told Timothy, you're a mini-me. Like, you are just like me. So I am convinced that you have a Christ-like character because you are like me. You are a copycat. You're doing the things that I've done. You're saying the things that I've said. You're acting the way that I've acted. And this could sound arrogant and pompous to some, but if it does, that means that you don't know the heart and mind and character of Paul, because this is the same Paul who, in a letter that he wrote to the church in Galatia, said that I am crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul is expressing that I am one who is looking to live and follow after God, and you're following me as I follow Christ. So when Paul says my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, he's talking about Christ, because Paul is copying Christ, Timothy is copying Paul. So Paul is convinced that Timothy has a character like Christ because he's copying one who's copying Christ. And this idea of being a copycat is not something that's new to the Christian faith. It's actually critical. See, Paul, in his letter to Corinth, told them to be imitators of God. In chapter 11, Paul also tells the church in Corinth to follow him as he follows Christ. Paul would go on to tell the church in Philippi that all the things that they've heard, that they've seen, that they've learned from him, to do these things. And if they do, he knew that they would have the peace of God as well. Paul tells Titus that he is to have the older men train the younger men and the older women train the younger women. We learn in Hebrews that Christ is our great example, and the author of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, but some may say something different, encourages us to copy Christ. You look at the disciples, the 12 who became leaders of the early church. They believed that they were to say the things that Christ said and do the things that Christ did, so much so that when people threatened their very lives, they said, listen, I don't know what to tell you, but we're copycats of Christ. So you could kill us, you could beat us, do what you have to, but we're imitating Christ. And then we could look at our great example, Jesus. Jesus said everything that he said was from the Father. But Jesus also went on to let us know that everything that he did was based on the word. Jesus, why are you riding on the donkey? It was written that this is what the Son of Man was to do. Jesus, why are you going to the cross? It was written that this was what I was supposed to do. Jesus, why are you growing up in Nazareth? It was written that the Son of Man would come out of Nazareth. Jesus, are you doing anything on your own? No, I'm just copying what the word said. I read it in Isaiah. It said I was supposed to do this, so I'm just doing what the word says. Christ copied. We copy Christ. And those who are coming up copy us. And so it's a misnomer to think that the Christian can somehow develop Christ-like character in a closet all by themselves. You didn't read that in the Bible. You made that up. Jesus says that we're to copy. The word says that we're to copy. So this is a commendation to Timothy. Timothy, you're a copycat. You better go ahead, boy. You're doing it right. You look just like me. That was a great thing. It was an encouraging thing to Paul, so that Paul could be confident that Timothy was not a deserter of the faith, but he, in fact, is a disciple of the faith, willing to live for the Lord. And while this is critical, having a character like Christ, because we copy those who are following after the Lord, Paul also knew that this was not the only step. See, copying and becoming a follower of Christ is not something just to be attained, like a trophy that we grab. Oh, look, that's a perfect copy, and I'll put it on the wall. No, see, Paul just finished telling Timothy about those who were once at least professing to be disciples, but now they're deserters. Paul wrote also to the church in Galatia. He asked them a question. Oh, foolish Galatians, what happened? You were doing such a great job. You were running well. Who hindered you? See, you were living after the word that you were taught, but now some deserters of the faith came in with their false doctrine, and now you're grabbing a hold of that, and instead of living in grace, you're trying to live by law. Come on, you all, we went through this already. You were running well. See, so you can start out well with a Christ-like character, but if you think that at some point you have now arrived and you can coast into the kingdom, no, you can't. Paul wants Timothy not just to copy what he did, but he also wants him to copy his life to the end. We'll see a little bit later that there's a crown that awaits the one who finishes the race. And so Paul is telling Timothy, great on the character development, but son, I need you to continue. We have not arrived. Paul is the one who also said, I have not yet apprehended that which has apprehended me, but I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So we're copying to become more like Christ, but we can't think for one second that we have arrived somehow and now there's no more that we need to do. That's not what Paul tells Timothy. Look at verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters, those deserters, will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you came out the gate like a stallion. The finish line is a little bit further. I need you to continue to push through. You see, we could start a race real well. And we could oftentimes end the race real well. You know, when you can sense the finish line is coming up, you feel this extra boost of energy. You may have been getting tired, but like, oh, the finish line is there. And all of a sudden, you seem to get this energy that helps you to push on through. But sometimes the middle seems to get a little bit messy. And Paul is saying, Timothy, what happens in the middle matters. You need to continue in the faith. Yes, you have developed a Christ-like character because you have watched me, you've studied me, you have learned the scriptures, and you're holding on to the truth of God's word. That which you have believed, what you have learned and firmly believed, you have to hold on to that, though. You have to continue in that. And if we can be honest, sometimes in the middle, we get weary in well-doing. The race seems to get a little bit exhausting. I don't know what it is that may be your 10-mile wall in this marathon called the faith, but you start to cramp up. It could be that you lost your job, illness that is not necessarily debilitating, but you don't know when it's going to end. I've found that some people who are going through something significant, if they know what they can do to deal with it, then they can endure a little bit. But if you have a nagging injury that's just told this is going to be your lot in life for the rest of your life, something about that has oftentimes called people to get a little bit weary. And I understand. I'm not saying that, so you shouldn't get weary. No, that's not the thought. But how do we push through? How do we continue to run this race so that we can say, like Paul, I have run my race. I've finished my course, and there's a crown that I'm about to go and get. How can we live that kind of life? That's what Paul is talking to Timothy about. Listen, there are no punches that are held here. This is not some prosperity gospel. Listen, if you come to Jesus, you too can be a millionaire in these five easy steps. That's not what Paul is telling Timothy. Paul is saying, listen, son, we're going to go through. That's what's awaiting us. Let me read it again so that you don't think I'm just trying to preach doom and gloom. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We're trying to live to be comfortable. We're trying to live to coast sometimes. And Paul is saying that's the exact opposite. You know that you're living for Christ. How? Persecution. But I thought if I was living for Christ, everything was supposed to be smooth and easy, pleasant and painless. You didn't read that in this word. Because Jesus is the one who told the disciples straight up, look, in this life, you're going to have a whole lot of trouble. The world hated me. They're going to hate you too. Right? So how then do we live a life like Paul, like Jesus, like Peter, like those who have come before us who endured to the end? That's a good question. And Paul doesn't leave Timothy hanging, and neither are we going to be left hanging. Paul tells Timothy the how behind the what. That Christ-like character that you developed because you've copied me, great. Son, I want you to continue to develop that Christ-like character. Hold on to the truth of God's word. And here is how you continue to run for Christ to the end. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. That means whole, lacking nothing, equipped for every good work. Paul tells Timothy the way that you continue in the development of this Christ-like character is by keeping the commandments of Christ. All scripture, not the ones that make you feel comfortable, not the ones that you like, not the ones that you just memorize, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable for teaching. So for the one who is ignorant, who is unlearned on the way and the will of God, the word of God is profitable to teach us to understand God's way and God's will. But it's also profitable for reproof or rebuking. For the one who is intentionally disobeying the word of God, this word will get you some get right. Let's go, boy. You're not there, not here, not now. It's profitable for rebuke, and not because God hates you, but because God loves you enough not to see you go down that path. It's also profitable for correction, because sometimes we make mistakes and we may drift, and the Lord, as a loving father, corrects us to make sure, hold on, come back here. You're going a little bit too far to the left. It's profitable for correction, and it's profitable for training in righteousness. You don't just build muscles because you sat on your couch and keep clicking the button looking for another show on television. You build muscles because you get off of the seat of do nothing. You find yourself in a gym or out on the pathway and walking, running, doing some push-ups, maybe some curls, lifting some weights. Muscles don't come because we're being lazy. We have to train ourselves up to be in good health and strength. And Paul tells Timothy the same thing. If you looked over in 1 Timothy around chapter 4, he told Timothy that bodily exercise is good, but training in righteousness is good for not just this life, but the life to come. So train yourself to be one who's like God, to be one who's like Christ. Train yourself in godliness is what Paul told Timothy in his first letter. And here he's letting Timothy know that it's the word of God that's going to help you to continue to grow in the ways of God. But today, we like to establish a faith that's based on feelings. If I don't like it, then I'm not going to do it. But nobody asked you, Michael. God did not consult me when he wrote his word, no more than he consulted me when he created the earth. So if God says it's good, then it's good. I mean, that's the only reason why we come to God in the first place. You have to think about it. Why do we call sin, sin? It's not because we had some epiphany. It's because we believe that what God says is true is true. And if God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. And so I have to now acknowledge that what I'm doing is wrong because God says it's wrong in his word. People of the world don't call what they're doing sin. And I wouldn't expect them to. They like what they're doing. It's fun and it feels good, at least in the moment. But we call it sin because God says it's wrong. So if we acknowledge that God is the keeper of truth, then when we get into his word, we can't decide what we want to do based on how we feel. If we wait to feel like it, we stay stuck. If we wait until we get an unction, we don't move. I was just having some conversations this week about getting uncomfortable for Christ. Why don't we? Oh, you know, I just didn't feel like it. No. This is the truth, and we have a choice. I am either going to accept it and line my life up with it, or at this point, I'm going to desert it and walk away from it. And we already see that Paul told Timothy, I know that you're not a deserter because you have Christ-like character. You copy well. You're keeping the commandments. Keep doing it. Don't wait for a feeling to obey the word of God. Obey the word of God and let your feelings catch up. If we do that, then we will experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, it's not easy, but it's right. If God says forgive, he didn't ask you, did you feel like forgiving? He did not inquire of you first. Do you believe that they're deserving of it? He commands it. You've got to read the word of God, not like a book full of suggestions, but a book filled with commands from a loving father to build us up and train us up in righteousness. He does not ask, he commands. Forgive as you have been forgiven. But many times we don't feel like it. They don't deserve it. And then we wonder why bitterness, anger, hate festers up and pools in our hearts. And then we're curious as to why we don't experience peace, love, and joy. Peace can't develop in a heart that's filled with anger and animosity. No more than oil and water can mix and hold. I mean, you can shake it up and make it look like it's going to work, but let it sit there for a moment, and you're going to see the two separate. And as much as we try to muscle our way to line up with God's word without actually doing what God says, it's no wonder why after a while we start to feel ourselves just drifting back to. That's because we've never been properly aligned. Like some of you know what I'm talking about. You drive and you haven't taken your car in to see the mechanic like you need to. And so you're sitting there driving down 40 looking like you leaning to the right the whole time because you know if you let go, that car just going to want to go right into the wall. Right? And no matter how much you try, the moment you let go, you're like, oh, no, but it still needs to be aligned. Don't let go too much. Right? And we're trying to muscle our way in the faith the same way, wondering why we're so exhausted and why it hurts. Because we don't go to the Word of God to get ourselves lined up. I mean, somebody's got to be hearing Jesus today, because this was not in my head on Friday. You hear what I'm saying, though? We got to get into this Word. It's not our opinions, our ideas, our suggestions. Listen, you don't come here on a Sunday morning because you're looking for someone to tickle your ears. You're looking for Christ to correct you, rebuke you, train you, and teach you so that we can experience the goodness of the Lord right here, right now. But we are living beneath our means, people of God. The Lord says, do not fear. Guess what you should stop doing? It's not a suggestion. Don't worry. But we pet worry like it's a great dog. Oh, come here, but you're just so fluffy. No, kick it out. Like, we can't play with these things. But we just walk with it for so long, as though God suggested it. Oh, you know, just linger in hate and animosity for a few minutes. Stay there for just a couple of months and then come talk to me and let me know how you feel. No, he said, I will take care of you. And if we believe that to be true, then we line up with his commandments and we stop holding on to worry and we start waiting faithfully and patiently on a God who cannot fail. Listen, if we do this, then we will be able to continue. I'm, again, not saying that it's going to be easy. I understand that your stride may shorten up a little bit with the cramp, but you don't stop. You do not stop. And at some point, the cramps may alleviate and you're like, oh, okay, hold on, I'm feeling my stride again. But don't stop running for God. See, because that's exactly what the devil tries to do. Look, let me see if I can find Psalm real quick. Just came to mind. Psalm 1, a beautiful picture of how we start to slow down in this race. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Look at that. He started out walking, but then he slowed down to a standstill, and now he's sitting. See, it's just an ever-progressing slowing. It's like, oh, I'm walking in the wrong way. Now I'm, you know, let me just get a little bit more comfortable. I'm standing, and now I'm just sitting. And next thing you know, I'm not running for Jesus anymore. But the one who's blessed, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. That one who understands that all scripture is God-breathed and his delight is in the law of the Lord. When you delight in something, you desire that thing that you delight in. And therefore, you will pursue it with a dogmatic pursuit. I'm talking about something like a pit bull on a bone. I don't know why I'm talking about dogs. I don't like them, but I tolerate them. You know, I mean, you just hold on. I'm not letting go. You can't pry it out my mouth if you tried. That person who delights in the law of the Lord, they're running for Jesus. See, they will continue. But if you don't continue, you start to slow down. You think you could coast. But then you come to a standstill. And then you get stagnant. And your reservoir will start to empty real quick. We need to be continually filling up with the Word of God. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And for those who are disciples, that's what Paul was talking about in chapter 2. See, I know we talk about chapters and verses and we break it up, but this is one letter. It's continual. See, here we just read that in verse 17, the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Well, Paul just said that same thing in chapter 2, verse 21, as we refer to it, that if we cleanse ourselves, we will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house. What for? Ready for every good work. So for the one who has developed a Christ-like character, who's holding on to the Word of God, continuing in the commandments of Christ, that one will be complete. But for what purpose? To just say, I'm going to chill out and wait for God to come? No, this is not a coasting kind of a faith. The Bible oftentimes refers to what we're in as a battle, as a war. So we're being built up to go on the offensive. We need to stop retreating and trying to just build up a tower of safety. God hasn't created us to build up a tower of safety. He's given us weapons to go on the attack. So we need to get out and start doing. And that's what Paul tells Timothy. Listen, son, if you hold on to this Word, it's going to build you up. And you're going to be complete, equipped for every good work. So now after the commendation for copying and for the encouragement to continue, Paul leaves Timothy with a charge and a command. Now it's time to go and get it. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming. And for us, we could just say the time is now here, because if it was coming in Timothy's day, it has arrived. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. This is a danger, people of God, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Paul tells Timothy to be consistent in his communication. It's the charge that he has. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Now look, the word doesn't have an expiration date on it. But what Paul is telling Timothy is whether the people want to hear it or whether they don't. Whether the people are applauding because they say that's a good word, or whether they're calling you intolerant because you're standing on the truth and calling it what it is. You're either in or you're out. There's only one way. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. This is the truth. There's only one way. There aren't five. I don't care how you try and slice the pie. There's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus. Oh, Michael, you're being intolerant. Listen, it may be outdated for you, but it's truth to me, and I'm going to share the truth. In season, out of season. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm trying to please the one who has enlisted me, and I want to make sure I run well because I want that crown that Christ has promised for those who endure to the end. Preach the word, Timothy. And you'll say, well, you know, well, that's for Timothy. That's not for me. I'm not called to preach the gospel. No, that's for us all. All scripture is God-breathed. And all scripture is good for teaching and for training. So may we be trained on this morning to be those who go on the offensive, who will assault wickedness in its dark places with the truth of God's word, with, though, all patience. We don't want to beat people down, but I'm not also going to compromise. My messaging is going to be consistent. I wonder what we're going to talk about next week, the gospel. Or what do we got to that? Oh, the gospel. Well, what are you going to do in December? The gospel. I mean, we're going to stay consistent with this messaging. The word of God is good all by itself. And we just want to stay right here in the word of God. But we need to be careful, people of God, because our words matter. And I'm going to give you this challenge that's challenging me, but it's the word of God. We need to relinquish sarcasm or cynicism from our communication. There's no place in it for the people of God. People don't know if you're telling the truth, if you're being serious or not. And listen, I majored in sarcasm. Oh, I know it very well. It was my first language. But I've had to allow the Lord to start to strip me of that. And I'm not saying I get it right every time. I'm catching myself much more often, though, because what we're called to communicate is going to be a truth that could change somebody's life. And I don't want anything that I say to become a distraction to someone else hearing a life-changing truth. So you and I are called to communicate the gospel to others, whether it's popular or not. But here's something that really weighed on my heart. This thought of this time being here, where people will have itching ears and they'll look to go to places that suit them. I'm concerned for the body of Christ, because we have this revolving door ministry now, where if I hear something that I don't like, I'm just gonna leave and go someplace else. And that's dangerous. Because now I'm leaving it up to myself and my feelings. Now, if it's heretical and it's blasphemous, leave. A matter of fact, don't even stay another minute. You should leave right in the middle. But to say that I didn't like it is insufficient. We need to be like Acts says about the church in Berea that said, all right, Paul, I hear what you're saying, but I never really heard about this Christ angle that you're coming at from the Old Testament with. So let me go back and read over this, and let me come back. You know, what you said was actually spot on. So even though it was new to us, it's truth, and we're going to line up with it now. That's how we come to determine whether or not we respond rightly, but it's not based on our feelings. Oh, you know what? See, Michael said that we shouldn't be sarcastic, but I like sarcasm, so I'm just going to go ahead and continue to be sarcastic. Read the Bible first, and then come back and say something. Read the scriptures that talk about good words and bad words can't come out the same fountain, right? And so we can actually mess some people up. Like, just read through the scriptures and then come back and talk to me. But don't allow our feelings to be what cause us to determine whether or not we stick or whether or not we leave. Because if that's the case, whenever we're uncomfortable, you know what we're going to do. We're going to leave. Like, oh, that made me uncomfortable. That challenged me, and I don't want to be challenged right now. I want to be comfortable. So I'm going to go someplace else where I can get my ears scratched. No, that's not what God has for us. So if you are uncomfortable like I have been all week, then that's probably a good sign that the word is working. Because it's good for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training. And there was a day where I wasn't in shape, and now I'm in a day where I am in shape. And I'm telling you, that first time going to the gym, I don't know if you all have ever experienced this, but I have some issues with lactic acid. That's why I don't like to take breaks. I get on a treadmill and I start running. Next thing I know, I get this itch, and it's a mean one. It starts on my thigh, and then it works its way up to my sides, and then it just goes all over my body. And at some point, I become nauseous with it. And don't scratch it, because then it just gets worse. It makes it mad, I guess, and it spreads throughout the body. Right, so I don't like to take breaks. But could you imagine if I just allowed that itch to determine whether or not I continued to work out? I'd be morbidly obese right now. I had to push through that so that I can get to a place of being in good health. Training is uncomfortable because it calls and causes us to come out of some relaxed spaces. You build muscles by tearing them. That's what lifting weights does. Tear some muscles and then the fibers grow back. And you're stronger now. Training is not comfortable. If you're uncomfortable, that could be the very sign that you're hearing from the Spirit of God. But Paul doesn't just leave Timothy with this charge for his communication. He also commands him to have a conduct that's reflective of Christ. Verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Always be sober-minded. Not sometimes, not when it feels good. Always be sober-minded. And you can only do that if you're holding on to the word of God. If we're not holding on to the word of God, let's be honest, we'll lose our minds. I mean, there's a reason why mental health is a challenge today, because it's hard out here. And the only thing that could ground us and keep us is the word of God. We need to grab a hold of God. So if Timothy and if we are grabbing a hold of God, then our conduct will always be sober-minded. We will continue doing the work. See, disciples do. We're not trying to just hang out. We're out there working it out in the name of Jesus. So the charge for you and for me today is that if we are looking to live like Christ, if we're copying others who are following after Jesus, and we plan to continue in that by holding on to the word of God, then we need to go out now and continue to have a communication and a conduct that's reflective of Christ. And just so you can be encouraged, I'm going to read real quick and take a seat in just a moment. Verses 6 through 8. For I am ready. I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all of you, all of us who have loved his appearing. It's not easy. It's not a very fluffy and pleasant word to hear that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's not a jump up and give a high five, maybe kind of a word. But may this bring us great comfort. We're not running for no purpose. Paul said, I'm not as one who's just running and chasing after shadows and swinging at shadows and not knowing what I'm going after. But I keep under my body and I bring my flesh into subjection. Why? Because I know what awaits me. And if we will hold on to the word of God and allow ourselves to be aligned with the word of God, then we too, it's promised to us, will receive a crown. But we have to have that same testimony. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What is going to allow you and I to have that testimony? Continuing in what we have learned. Continuing in what we have firmly believed. Holding on and obeying the commandments of Christ so that we can say, I have finished my race. If you let go, if I let go of the word of God, then we'll be like the deserters that Paul talked about in the earlier part of chapter 3 and the latter part of chapter 2. You did run well, but what hindered you? Oh, you didn't like what the Bible said? You didn't like how people were treating you because of the truth? That hindered you? Don't let anything stop you and I from running for Jesus. Run. Run your race well. All the way through the finish, son. All the way through the finish, daughter. Don't pull up short. Don't start walking, standing, and sitting. All the way through to the last step. And if you can do it, and you can if you hold on to God's word, there's a crown waiting for you and for me. I run that I might receive my crown. And I believe that the Lord sent me today to encourage you to run. Run to receive your crown. Continue with a God-like communication and conduct. Live on mission for God everywhere you go. No matter what anybody says, whether it's popular or not. And trust me, God will be well pleased. And if God is pleased, then that's all that matters.